Hello there. Welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek. Today is Wednesday. It's July 30th. I always get that. You know, you think I'd have a script written down. I think I'm going to need that pretty soon. July the 30th. I don't know where that came from. It's not, maybe that's wishful thinking. It is not July the 30th. It's December the 30th. Oh, goodness. It is a Wednesday, and I am glad to be with you. At least I think I'm with you. At least physically, I am here present. Hey, pull up a chair. Make yourself comfortable. We're going to hang out for the next 30 minutes. And look at, I think, a concept that we need to look at today. The idea that this world, which causes us so much grief, and let's be honest, it does. I really believe that 99.9% of the things that we worry about have to do with the things of this world. But as you will see, in today's first reading, in the first reading from today's Daily Mass, it comes from the first letter of the Apostle John. He reminds us that we shouldn't love the things of the world. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, I don't love things. I love people. But you know, when we're going to talk about that, we might not love things, but we sometimes become overly attached to things, and get ready for this, and to people. So we need to be really careful about not doing that. And look, we're going to spend the whole show talking about this, because I am not saying that we shouldn't take care of our finances and pay our bills and take care of our health and love and take care of family members and friends. That's all part of what we're called to as Christians. But when we become overly worried, overly weighed down by the things of the world, then it's time, I think, to take a step back and recognize that this world, as much as it seems as that it's going to be here forever, this world's passing away. And furthermore, you and me, we are definitely passing through this world. We're going to be home in our heavenly home in a relatively short period of time. And, you know, that regardless of how old or young we are, it's still a relatively short period of time. So we don't want to overdo our dependence and our on the things of this world. We also don't want to find seek all of our satisfaction and happiness in the things of this world. Because you know what? You know this. You don't need me to tell you this. They don't deliver. They don't deliver that lasting happiness that we're looking for. So we'll chat about this on the program. Tomorrow, I just want to remind you, tomorrow I will do a show. And then Friday, New Year's Day, I'm going to take the day off. So don't panic if I'm not around on Friday. That's the schedule. And then next week we'll be back to a full week of programs. Hey, look, let's do this. Settle in. I have a chair for you right here. Put down your snack, your beverage. Get ready to chat about the Lord for the next 30 minutes. But before we do that, let's turn to our Father in heaven in prayer. Let's lift up our hearts and our minds to Him, to Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, the Supreme Being, who we can also refer to as Dad, Daddy. He's our Father, so let's talk to Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You for being present with us right now. We thank You for loving us into existence. Father, we thank You for hearing us. We thank You for always being available whenever we want to spend time with You. You never turn us away. You're never too busy. That's something that as humans with a limited intellect, we can only understand so much. With a limited intellect, we have a hard time understanding how it's possible for You to make Yourself present to all of Your creatures whenever they turn to You. But we know it's possible. Our faith teaches us that. So, Father, we know You're here with us right now. We know You hear our words. I pray, Father, that You will send Your Spirit this day, Your Holy Spirit, into us to give us a new outpouring of understanding, of love for You, of confidence in Your power and Your provision, so that we can approach You as a Father who loves us rather than a mysterious being somewhere in the sky. And I know, Father, that takes time. And that's something we will constantly be working on. But I know with your Spirit and the work of your Spirit in us, you can become very real. So I pray, Father, that that happens today, that your presence becomes very real, and we're aware of you as we go around about performing our daily duties. Father, I also ask that you give me the words for today's program, and please open all of our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I think I'm set now. It is amazing, and I don't know exactly what I'm about to say when I launch into these prayers, but certain things strike me, and I really believe that the Spirit leads me to recognize certain things that maybe I've taken for granted for years. The idea of a loving God who is my Father. You know, I have a very vivid image of my earthly father. He passed away in 2002, but boy, I can still picture how he would give me his undivided attention when I was young and when I was older. He always made time for me, and I always knew that if I went to Dad and needed his help, he'd help me. Now, sometimes he also had to discipline me, especially when I was younger. But looking back now, I realized why he did it. You know, now I have kids of my own, so it's a little more obvious to me. At the time, I thought he was unfair. But I look back now, and I realize my dad always loved me. He always made time for me. Whenever I played in a Little League game, my dad was there. No matter what I did, he always found time for me. And that's the cool thing about having a Father in heaven. Now, for me, that visualization's easy. If I think of my earthly father, I can get an image of what my heavenly father is like. You know, it's obviously, my father in heaven is much greater than my father on earth. But that idea of always being present for me, always taking the time for me, I really am blessed to be able to have that. Now, you might not have that. And if so, I would just say I'm sorry that you haven't, but not everybody had a good experience of a father growing up. But if that's not the case, I would just encourage you to continue to work on your relationship with your Father in heaven and let him fill that need in your life. You know, even though I had a great father on earth, my Father in heaven is filling needs that I never thought I had. And he's taking care of me, and he's really providing for all of my needs, both spiritual and material. So I would encourage you to keep working on that relationship. And you know who can help? Jesus can help. And that's one of the things that if you look through the Gospels, he was constantly doing. He was constantly trying to lead us, or reveal the Father to us, and lead us closer to the Father. So I would encourage you to keep doing that, even if you just sit in the presence of your Father in heaven and say, Father, I'm here. I'd like to get to know you better, and ask the Holy Spirit to help, because that's what the Holy Spirit's, one of the Holy Spirit's jobs is, to make Jesus real and to make the Father real. And boy, I'll tell you, I remember not all that long ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, I just couldn't appreciate the Father's love for me. And he was not real. He was not real to me. And I prayed for that constantly. I would ask the Holy Spirit to help. I'd keep talking to the Father. I'd talk to Jesus. And, you know, he did become real. Now, there's a certain air of mystery about him because he's invisible. I mean, he's pure spirit. And it's a little strange to get used to having a father who's spirit. But I really look at him as the air that surrounds me. And that's how I feel. I'm almost wrapped in his presence. So it might work a little differently in your life. But I would really urge you to make it a point to speak to your Father in heaven every day. Find time to speak to Jesus too. And to the Holy Spirit. Don't drive yourself nuts. Don't don't measure out the time and make sure you're giving them each an equal amount of time. You'll drive yourself crazy that way. But make it a point to speak to each person of the Trinity every day. And I would also encourage you to speak to Mary, the Blessed Mother, as well as Saint Joseph, and you might have a favorite saint that you want to talk to. These relationships can be difficult because we're relating to people, real people, who don't have flesh and blood like you and I do. Now, of course, Jesus did have flesh and blood, so did Mary and Joseph, but they are not alive in the sense that we're used to someone being alive, right? They're alive, but not walking on the face of the earth. We can't touch their hands, you know? So it's a bit of a challenge. But the Holy Spirit really helps out with this, and you'll be surprised how far you can get in your relationship with them. But you have to put the time in. And if there's anything I could urge you, that would be it. Put the time in. Make sure you spend some time in prayer every day. And talk to the three persons of the Trinity. Talk to them. Tell them you can't feel their presence, but you want to. You know? I know this sounds really pathetic and this sounds bogus, but it's really true. Pretend that they exist. They do exist, but you know, you almost have to you know what I mean? If you pray, you understand. You almost have to go through the motions sometimes. And because really what's happening is you are believing on an intellectual level, you're believing through faith. And that's the interesting thing about faith. That's how it works. You know, you can't physically see Jesus, but through faith, you believe that he's real. You believe that he's real, and you believe that you can talk to him and he can hear you. And the more you do that, the more you speak with him, the more you have that conversation, even if you don't feel it, the more real he becomes, and the more eventually you do feel it. If you've been here and you've been walking this road for a long time, you kind of probably know what I'm talking about. But if not, give it a try. One day at a time, keep doing it. And look, I would love it if you would just keep hanging out at my table every day, and we'll do it together. We will continue to talk to the Father. We'll talk about Jesus. We'll walk through this together. I want to be here for you to help you with that, okay? You know, if you have any questions about prayer, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Now, before I look at this reading from the first letter of St. John, I want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. If you haven't gotten on my daily email reflection list yet, make sure you do that. It doesn't cost you anything. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com, supply your email address, and you will be all set. I also want to remind you, you can on the website find out about my weekly podcast, The Gary Zimak Show, which becomes available every Friday. And it focuses on the Sunday Mass readings. You can get that free of charge at the website. And also, you can find out how to purchase my latest book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, Be Transformed by the Fruits of the Spirit. You can find that and all of my books at followingthetruth.com. Okay, so let's talk about this. All right, let me give you the backstory. If you read the email reflection, I mentioned this, we'll talk about it in a little greater detail because there's a point that I did not make in the email reflection. I try to keep it to a minimum. I don't want to go get overly wordy. And there's one point that I wanted to mention that I'm going to talk about with you today that I really left out of the email, but it's something that has to be addressed. So here's the deal. I go to Mass today with Eileen. We go to daily Mass. And I said, I really want to focus on the gospel. This was my preconceived idea. For the daily reflection today, I think I'm going to really focus on the gospel. We're still in the Christmas season. Got some great gospels. This was my idea. But you know the way I roll. I always try to depend on the Spirit. And I let the Holy Spirit lead me where I'm supposed to be. So if the Spirit wants me to talk about the gospel, I'll talk about the gospel. But I go to Mass, right? And I always ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, let me know what I should be keying on for my daily email reflection today. And don't you know, the first reading is being read. It's a reading from the first letter of St. John, the Apostle. And there was a line in here that just hit me. And I immediately knew. I said, I just got to write about this. So I made this the reflection, the Bible verse for my daily email reflection. Let me read the reading to you, and then we'll stop at the appropriate points. It's 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. I am writing to you, children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God remains in you, and you have conquered the evil one. Now, it's pretty obvious as we read this, without getting into a lot of the nitty-gritty details, which would just distract from the point. In this case, John's got a pretty wide audience here, and he's addressing a number of different individuals, fathers, young men, children. He's really addressing a lot of different individuals. He's got a varied audience, and he sets it up, right? Speaking to all these different groups of individuals. And because the church tells us that Scripture is the inspired word of God, so every word John was writing was inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we believe by faith through the teaching of the church. Because of that, we know that he's speaking to us also. So this is directed to us. Now that sets it up. Here's who I'm speaking to, right? He's telling us, I'm speaking to you. Now comes for the message directed to you and me. And this next verse that I'm about to read is what really killed me today. Do not love the world or the things of the world. I'm going to repeat that again, then we'll go on, we'll talk about it. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Yet the world and its enticement are passing away. But whoever does the will of God remains forever. Now, we could really break this down. It's obviously, it's pretty obvious from reading this that John is emphasizing the worldly things of the world. You know, the yucky stuff, the instant gratification, sinful, guilty pleasures or whatever, you know, that we tend to cling to when we need a quick pick-me-up. And he mentions that the world and its enticement are passing away. Now, obviously, I think we have to extend that to focus on the temporary nature of the world in general. You know, we're only going to be here for a relatively short period of time. And I think it's so important that we remember that. And every time you and I begin to worry about our health, our finances, our family. And I'm not talking about being concerned. I'm talking about worry about our health, our finances, our children, our relationships, our addiction to some sinful or sinful habit or pleasure. Anytime that we begin to, or maybe even when we begin to worry about what's going to happen in the future. Is God going to really be there for me? You know, these what-if scenarios that start to run around or run wild in our minds. Every time we begin to worry about one of these things, all of which are going to be gone one day. We're going to be gone. Our family's going to be gone. Our house is going to be gone. You know, or at the very least, the house might survive us, but we're going to be gone. We're not going to be in this house wherever we live forever. Our clothes, whatever it is, money in the bank, one day you're going to have to leave these possessions and things. So it's all temporary. If we worry about these things, right, doesn't that mean that we are loving the world more than God? It does, because we are focused on things that are not eternal, and we're not focused on what is eternal, and that's life in heaven with the Lord forever. So that's one of the things that really hit me about that, because he just says, do not love the world or the things of the world. So this is not just, you know, most of us, if we were to be asked, do you love the things of the world? Most of us would, especially if we're trying to live a Christian life, we're going to say, no, I don't love things. I don't love the things of the world. But really, we sometimes fool ourselves, I believe, because we should look at our actions. We should look at the way we feel. If I'm up at night worried about something that may or may not happen to me or to a loved one, then am I not loving the world more than I'm loving God and recognizing failing to recognize the eternal aspect of our lives? We were created not just to live in this world, but to live in the next world. And the reason I thought it's important to mention that is due to the fact that if this life is temporary, and Jesus made this point too, shouldn't we be putting more emphasis, or most of our emphasis, or just about all of our emphasis, on eternal things and on making sure that we follow the Lord's commandments, making sure that we make it to heaven? And, you know, that's the one point I really didn't emphasize specifically in my email, and I want to make that point with you now. I tell the story in the email, and if you haven't read it, just let me tell it to you briefly. Now, when I first went to work in the corporate world when I graduated college, I took a trip out to the West Coast, and I was with a couple friends, and we were going out to dinner, and on the way to dinner, I stopped by one of my friend's rooms, and I went into his room, and I saw it was something weird. He was taking his clothes from his suitcase and putting them into the drawers of the desk, and of the dresser at the hotel. And I had traveled with my parents and maybe taken a trip or two on my own prior to this, and it's something I never did. I never saw anybody do that before. And he said, "I like to do this. It makes me feel at home. I'm comfortable." And I remember thinking, well, we're going to be going home in a few days. What's the point of making yourself so comfortable? You know, and to this day, I live out of a suitcase. If I'm traveling, maybe unpack a few suit coats or whatever so they don't wrinkle. But I pretty much live out of a suitcase because I recognize that it's a temporary place of residence. I'm in a hotel. I'm going to be going home one day. So what's the sense in completely unpacking? And I really saw a parallel with that incident and what John's talking about today. Don't love the things of the world, because I think so many times we work at making everything perfect here. We want everything to be perfect. I want perfect happiness. I want all the problems out of my life. And look, I do it too. If I have a choice, I would love to eliminate every problem from my life or get rid of all the suffering. But see, here's the deal. This creates anxiety, because it's impossible to do that. You can't get rid of all your problems. I would love to have the COVID pandemic go away. I really would. It's causing problems for me. It's creating anxiety for myself, members of my family. It's making life difficult. I would love it to go away. But see, I'm not in charge of that. And if I try, I can take precautions, I can do what I can. But once I start trying to do God's job and eliminating any potential source of suffering or a problem in my life, I'm not going to be successful, and it's going to create anxiety, and I'm going to lose sight of the big picture. The big picture is I was created to live with God forever in heaven in complete happiness. That's why I was created. But before I do that, I have to do my time in this life. Now, it doesn't mean you can't be happy here. You can. You can connect with the Lord and find peace and happiness and joy even in the midst of your suffering. But it's an internal thing, you know? And there are external things good that happen in this life too. But I think we get ourselves in trouble when we try to make it a perfect paradise. It's not. This life is not a perfect paradise. It was created that way, but we messed it up. And that's what original sin has done. The good news is, this is all going to work out in the end. But the trick is we have to tell ourselves that. So this message from John, do not love the world or the things of the world. Keep that in mind today. Love God. Love God and, you know, look for his presence in your life. That's absolutely something you should do. But don't go crazy trying to make everything perfect in your world, because it's not going to be. But make sure that you do what you need to do to stay close to the Lord. Follow Jesus. Let him lead you to the Father. Depend on the help of the Holy Spirit so that you will be able to live with him in heaven. If you do that, if you try, you're going to get there. You're going to make it to heaven. And you will live in that paradise that you and I and all of us want to live in, because we were created to live that way. But we live in this fallen world right now. The good news is it won't last forever. So don't focus too much on trying to change things that might be unchangeable. Okay? That's the message for today. If you have any questions, you can always email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Thank you so much for spending a little time with me. And God willing, I plan to be back with you tomorrow. I hope you'll be able to join me. There's always going to be room for the table at my table for you. So just bring your own beverage, bring your own snack, and settle in. You know, I can't get into providing beverages and snacks. I give you the inspiration. That's about all I can give you, some scripture to that, but I'm not going to do the beverages and snacks. Oh, you know, mine is pathetic. I got a quarter of a cup of cold coffee here. It's not even worth mentioning. I'm not even going to take a sip of it. That my beverage today, I just failed when it comes to my beverage du jour. So I'll do better tomorrow. Hey, I hope you have a wonderful night. And remember, I'm praying for you. If you would please pray for me and for my family, I would really appreciate it. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't let yourself become overwhelmed with the problems of your life. God's with you. He loves you. He is going to get you through it. But just cling to him, okay? Cling to him and everything's going to work out. You're going to feel that peace that you're looking for. Don't try to change the external things. You can change some things, but there are some things that are not going to be changeable. So if you stop trying and lean on the Lord, you're going to feel a lot more peaceful. Okay? All right, I'm praying for you. I'm going to run. God bless you, and I look forward to being with you tomorrow. See you.